Matthew 5, verses 6 to 10. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, children and grown-ups, it's great to be with you, or if you're watching at home, hopefully, children, you've got a couple of things. Hopefully, you've got a sheet to help you follow along. That's for now. Hopefully, you've got an envelope, or your parents have. That's for not yet. So we're not ready for that yet. So if you can't trust yourself with that one, pass it to your parents, and we'll see how we go. Well, children and grown-ups, today we are looking at three more Beatitudes. We're going to take a good look at one and a quick look at the other two. Before we do, though, we just need to think a bit more about what Jesus promises. Phil's already said that blessed means that God approves of us, he ticks us, and he gives us good things. Now, children, just hands up on this one. Who likes getting gifts? Who likes being given things and being promised good things? Grown-ups, we know it's true of us as well. We all love it. Now, children, some gifts are given to us straight away, and some gifts we have to wait for. The waiting is never easy, but it's always worth it. And some things are a bit of both. A bit of both in life. We get a bit of it now and more to come. Maybe you've got a birthday soon, and you know you're going to get a birthday cake, but you're not going to get the birthday cake until it's your party, so you have to wait for it. But you're around when the cake is being made, so you get a little taste of it now. But you know that the best is yet to come. Children, hopefully you're feeling hungry now. That will help you understand later. Children, there's a bit of now, and there's a bit of not yet. Well, when it comes to all the blessings that Jesus promises, they're the same. The gifts, the good things, there are some now, and there are some not yet, and there are some that are a bit of both. Now, children, to help us here, we need a bit of a timeline. We're going to put a timeline up on the board for us. So let me give you the first picture. Here's the first picture for us. Here is Jesus. Here's Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life. We know that's already happened. We know that 40 days after that, he went back up to rule from heaven as King Jesus. So we know that's already happened. We know that he promises the next big thing that's going to happen in the world is that Jesus will come back. Let's put this in the right place. There we are. That Jesus will come back. And then when Jesus comes back, he is going to make the best world ever. It's called the new creation. It's going to be a place with no sadness, no sickness. No one will ever die. People will get to live with Jesus forever. It's going to be brilliant. And children, let's put where we are. So we live in the now. Here's us. Okay, we're in the now. And let's put a not yet on the end. Some of the things Jesus promises are for now, and some are not yet. Let's have a think about our Beatitudes already. Let's see what we can do. Here we go. Here's the first one we've seen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the biggest blessing that Jesus promises. He even says it twice in those few sayings. He says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that promise, let's have a think about it, that promise is a now promise. So everyone who trusts in Jesus, whether they're young or whether they're old, everyone who is poor in spirit and trusts in Jesus becomes part of Jesus' kingdom now. We already know him as king and we start to enjoy life knowing him as our king. But actually, it's not until he comes back that we really get to enjoy life with him forever. When the kingdom is complete and we get to live with him in a world with no sin and no suffering forever. Let's think about the next one. Oh, too fast. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Children, that's a now promise. Every time you are honest about your sin, every time we trust in Jesus and we're honest about our sin, the promise is that we are forgiven. We are comforted. We are forgiven. We can have joy, happiness, because we know we are forgiven right here and now. Let's go for the next one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Children and grown-ups, that is a future promise. That is a when Jesus comes back promise. We don't just get to be with him, but actually there's a way in which we will rule with him. And it's like we will own the earth with him, the perfect world forever. Children, do you see how it works? There are some now promises and there are some not yet promises. And children, that's how it works with all the Beatitudes. So let's have a look at the first one we need to think about today. Let me put it on the screen for us. Here it is. I'm going to say it, then we'll all say it together. Let me read it for us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's say it together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, children, help me here. What did it say that they hunger and thirst for? What do Jesus' people hunger and thirst for? Whisper it to your parents around you. I'm hoping that there's some righteousness going on behind the masks there. Brilliant. Righteousness. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, children, we need to know, and we probably do know, that Bible words have Bible meanings. And sometimes in the Bible, the same word can mean two slightly different things. And righteousness is like that. There is righteousness that we get given when we trust in Jesus. It is about being right in God's sight. It's like getting the t-shirt. When Jesus dies on the cross, we trust in him. And God looks at us now as right in his sight forever, even though we still sin. So there's that kind of righteousness. But the righteousness we're thinking about today is the living right righteousness. It's about living right in what we think and do and say each day. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now, children, help me again. When someone is really, really hungry, okay, if I say hungry, I want you to rub your belly. If someone is really, really hungry, what do they want? Really, really hungry, what do they want? Sarah, go on, whisper it to your mum. I heard food. Brilliant. Excellent. Food. If someone is really, you can rub your throat, really, really thirsty, what do they want? What do you think? Theo, whisper to your mum. Yeah, water, a drink. Brilliant. Fluid. If they're hungry, they want food. If they're thirsty, they want a drink. Well, when Jesus says, that Christians hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's saying that they really, really want righteousness to live right in what they think and do and say each day more than anything else in the world. More than wealth and health, more than stuff and status, more than trinkets and toys, more than friends and fun. They want it more than anything else because they really hunger for it and they really thirst for it. It's what they really, really want. Now, to help us here, I've got a smoothie, okay? Here's a smoothie. Okay, here's the smoothie. I think the smoothie helps because it's food and drink. So it's food and drink. Now, imagine, children, imagine you haven't had any food all day. No food all day and you're really, really hungry. Imagine you haven't had anything to drink all day and you're really, really thirsty. And you get to the fridge and you find the smoothie. You really, really want some. You've just got to have it. It's full of good things. It will help you with your thirst. It will fill your tummy. You know it's good and you've just got to have it. Well, that's how Jesus says that his people are to think about righteousness. They know it's a good thing. They know it's the best thing and they really want to have it. And the good news is that Jesus promises that they will be filled. But what does he mean? Well, it's a now and it's a not yet thing. Here's the promise. Let me find something else for us. Here we are. Okay, this is us now, okay? This is the Christian, someone who trusts in Jesus. They're poor in spirit. They know they don't live God's way. They've trusted in Jesus. Well, what's the promise? The promise is that as I hunger and as I thirst for righteousness, that I will be filled. Okay, here is now our righteousness smoothie. It's got an R on it for righteousness. The ingredients are think right, do right, say right. It is righteousness. This is what we are to hunger and thirst for. And the promise is that as I hunger and thirst for it, I will be filled. Children, grown-ups, that happens as we learn about Jesus in the Bible, as we learn about his good ways here in church and in Sunday school and at home. And as with his help, we become more like him. As we pray and ask for his help, we become filled. Filled with good things in what we think and do and say each day. So I see in the Bible and I hear in church that lying is bad and truthfulness is good. And I think, you know, with Jesus' help, I'm going to try not to lie. And I am filled. Or I see that I should treat others as I should want to be treated. And I think that is a brilliant thing. Jesus is right again. I'm going to try and live his good way. And over time, God helps me and changes me. And even though I find it hard, I actually love other people more and more. And children, here's the amazing thing. As I'm filled with righteousness and I live God's way, and I taste what life is like living his way, I think, you know, that is brilliant. Not lying, loving other people, keeping my word, not getting angry. That is brilliant. I just want some more of that. And the more I am filled as I try and live God's good way each and every day in what I think and do and say. Children, over the next few weeks in the Sermon on the Mount and in Sunday school, every time we look at the Bible, we're going to see what God is like, what Jesus is like, and how we should live his way. And time again, we will see how good it is. We will see that truthfulness is good. That we don't want to be angry. He's going to teach us about faithfulness, about not taking revenge, about love. And every time we're going to see that Jesus' way is the best way, better than all the rest. And as we try and live his way, we will be filled. The more we hear his words and put them into practice, the more that we will be filled. Let's put a sticker up so we don't forget that. Let's put it up now. So here and now, we will be filled. But children, we need to know this, that being filled with righteousness is also a not yet thing. It's also a not yet thing. Yes, with God's help, we can become more righteous. We can start to be filled. We can live his way each day. But the Christian life is one where we make progress. We become more like Jesus, but we're never perfect until he comes back. And that's the amazing promise. When Jesus comes back, we will be just like him. Perfect forever. Completely filled with righteousness. Completely filled. Or as filled as I'm prepared to do in the pulpit here. There we are. Completely filled with his righteousness. Like him now and like him forever. Let me put a verse up on the screen for us. Here's what one of Jesus' followers said that new creation, that perfect new world will be like. Let me read it for us. Children, tell me afterwards what dwells there. I've given you a clue with the colours. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. What lives there? What dwells there in the new creation? What is it? Excellent. Well done, Isaac. It is righteousness. The whole new creation will be full of people who only do what is right, and everything will be right forever. Children, just imagine that for a moment, and grown-ups too. No more struggling with sin, no more being tempted by sin, no more sinning, but every Christian made just like Jesus, righteous in every way, in what they think and do and say every day. Imagine, children, never lying or being tempted to lie. Never being jealous of what someone else has. Never getting angry or being tempted to fight back. Never failing to love God. Always treating others as we would want to be treated and not finding it hard to do so. That's what it will be like to be filled with righteousness when Jesus comes back. Here and now, Christians hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we begin to be filled. Then we will be filled with righteousness, with being like God forever. The hunger and thirst will be over, fully satisfied. No hunger, no thirst ever again. Children, I just want to encourage us and grown-ups too, over the coming weeks, here and at home, as we look at the Bible, why don't we ask the Lord to give us and give us again a desire, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and praise him that he promises to fill us. Why don't we say together that beatitude? Let's say it together one more time. On the count of three. One, two, three. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, we're going to take the opportunity now to respond to that first beatitude by listening to a song, committing ourselves to listen and to obey the words of King Jesus, so we are filled with righteousness and become more like him. Let's listen in now. Thank you.
I'm following the King. I'm ready to obey, to listen to his word. Yes, Jesus is my King. I'm living now for him, 'cause Jesus is my King. I don't deserve his mercy, I don't deserve his love, and yet he died to save me, died upon the cross. I'm following the King, I'm ready to obey, to listen to his word. Yes, Jesus is my King, I'm living now for him, 'cause Jesus is my King.
Well, children and grown-ups, we've learnt, haven't we, that Jesus' people are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the promise is that they will be filled. They want to be like God the Father, like his Son Jesus, and they want to do what is right in what they think and do and say every way each day. Well, in the next beatitude, we're going to learn one way in which they are to be like Jesus and like their Heavenly Father. Let me put it up for us. Let's do the same again. Let's say it together. I'll read it once and then join in on the second time. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Children, help me here. Who are blessed here? Who is it this time? Who are blessed here? Why don't you whisper that to your parents? Who are blessed? Lots of good whispering going on. Great job. What do we think? Whisper it at a good volume for me. That'd be helpful. Theo, you're in my eye line all the time. I'm sorry. What do you think? Merciful, brilliant. Blessed are the merciful, people who are full of mercy. Means they are loving, kind, forgiving to other people. That might be to people in distress, people whose life is difficult, maybe the homeless or the helpless. It might be to people who've been mistreated. They've been sinned against by other people, bullied, picked on, ignored, excluded, overlooked. It might be to people whose sin means their own life is difficult. It might be to people who sin against us and who we need to forgive. The world is full of people who need mercy just like us, and Jesus expects that his followers will be merciful towards them, that they will do all they can to love them, to be kind to them, and where they need to forgive them. Children, once again, Jesus is teaching us to be so different. The world around us tells us to look down on people, to look after ourselves, and to be slow to forgive. But Jesus, whose way is always best, always better than the rest, wants his people to be merciful. And the great news is they will. Now, to help us here, it's envelope time. So hopefully you've got an envelope. Get your parents to pass you an envelope. Okay, wave your envelope at me so I know you've got it. You can take it out now. Hopefully you've got, yours is yellow. Okay, hopefully you've got a bit that says me. Can you put that there so I can see it if you've got one? Brilliant, you want the me bit? Don't unfold it yet. Oh, I saw that. Okay, you've got the me bit. I know, it's so tempting. Give a child an envelope that says don't open it yet or don't unfold it yet. It's hard, isn't it? Okay, you've got the me bit, okay? Here is how Christians think about themselves, okay? They think about me and they think, do you know, I really need God's mercy. Try that, see if you can unfold it that far. They think, me, I really need God's mercy. And they trust in Jesus, and he is kind to them, he loves them, he forgives them, and so does their Heavenly Father. And they think, I've received mercy, I just can't help being merciful to others. Children, have a go. Someone's had a go. Let's do the whole thing again. Let's see if we've got this, okay? They think about me and they think, oh, I really need God's mercy. And I really get God's mercy. I get it because I trust in Jesus. He is loving and kind. He forgives me every day. And I just can't help but be merciful to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Children, grown-ups, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? It is impossible for us to know that we need mercy and not be merciful to others. Jesus says it just cannot work. I need mercy, I get mercy, I'm merciful to others. In fact, Jesus has a whole story, which we call the parable of the unmerciful servant, in Matthew's gospel, just to help us understand it. But the great news is that anyone and everyone who knows they need mercy will in the end, with God's help, be merciful to others. And the brilliant news is that as I'm merciful to others, Jesus and God the Father keep being merciful to me. I keep receiving mercy right here and right now. And the amazing thing is, when Jesus comes back, all I will get is mercy. He will accept me forever. Children, let's say that one together, shall we? I'll read it once, join in on the second time. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Children, just one more to do. Here we are. Here is the last beatitude we're thinking of this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's try saying that one together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Brilliant. Children, help me here. What's the promise? Who do followers of King Jesus get to see in the end? Who is it? For they will see God. Brilliant. They will get to see God. Children, I don't know, and grown-ups too, who you're looking forward to seeing this summer, or even tomorrow on the bank holiday. Friends, family, loved ones, people you want to see and be with. I don't know who your heroes are, the stars that you would love to be with and meet. Well, for the Christian, there is no one bigger and better, no one they would rather be with, no one they would rather see than God himself. And the promise is that to all who are pure in heart is that they, in the end, will see him. Let me put this up for us. Running out of room, let's put it here. They will get, in the end, when Jesus returns, they will get to see God and be with God forever. Now, children, we need to think really quickly about what it means to be pure in heart. Let me help us here. When the Bible talks about heart, it means the real centre of who we are. Like the handlebars on the bike steer the way, or like a steering wheel in a car. It sets the direction. Children, to be pure in heart is to be people whose direction, whose most important thing is to know God and be like God and to live for God. More important than anything else. To be pure in heart is to have our whole direction set on knowing Jesus and living for Jesus, which means we will know God and live for God. Children, as followers of Jesus, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and see how good it is, and see how good God is, all they want to do is to live his way and see him in the end. Children, as they experience God's mercy and realize how amazing God is, they realize what a brilliant thing it will be to live with him forever, and they keep focusing on doing that. The direction of their life, the one thing that matters, is to know God and live for God forever. So children, grown-ups, be encouraged. If you are trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation and trying to live with him as your king, then you are those who are pure in heart. And the more you seek to live his way, the more you trust and obey him, the more your direction is set, and you will one day get to see him and be with him forever. It's just worth pausing there, I think, and I just want to say, if as yet you're here and you haven't yet trusted in Jesus, your saving King, let me just encourage you to think about why that's the case. Why wouldn't you want to be part of his kingdom? To know your sins are forgiven, to know comfort now, to be part of his kingdom now, and to know that in the future you will be with him and get to see him in a perfect world forever. If you want to chat about that some more, do come and chat to Phil or I at the end of the service. Well, children, you have done a brilliant job listening in. Grown-ups too. We're going to say this last beatitude together. Let's say it now. I'll read it twice. Let's do it once and then join in. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We're going to listen in now to a song of praise which ends with us rejoicing in seeing God as we see Jesus in the new creation. Let's listen in now.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed is on Jesus' face.
Together as we finish, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, knowing that your ways are always best. Please help us to remember our need of mercy, that we might be merciful to others. And please help us to be pure in heart, focused on knowing and trusting and living for you and your Son, until one day we see you face to face. And please help us all to realise and remember that to be part of Jesus' kingdom is to be truly blessed. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.